Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and Kathy and I get to periodically actually come back. We've been talking about deception and the importance of wisdom. And of course, in between, we've had the Israel scenarios going on.
Which has been so fun to have them on as guests, right? Yeah. Bringing just a whole other perspective to things.
Yeah. And it was fun to have Denny kind of, we just had Denny on, and he really did a beautiful job of kind of giving perspective on all these important things that are going on. And Israel certainly is a center of attention. I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and they were just had a wonder, as they said, and they made a statement that actually Eric and Rabbi said. They said, well, Israel is about the size of Delaware. It only has less than 10 million people. And how is it that they're the center of attention?
It is fascinating, right? Yeah.
And that there's a demarcation that exists. And it's interesting, and we talked about this. Either there's people that are pro-Israel or people that are anti-Israel and what they call anti-Semitism. And really, it's not just, I don't like them. It's that they really come against them. And so I said, think about something that we all need to understand, which is really our topic of discussion, is around deception. That we tend to think we live in a natural world. And we think that way, well, Israel or this or that or politics or economy. And we just kind of analyze it analytically.
We want to analyze or explain it all away, right?
Right. But what God keeps telling us is that the real life is operated with principalities and powers, that it's spiritual and that it's a battle between the enemy and God for the dominance or the authority over the, you know, as we've talked about it, we've gone through this several times that, you know, he created the world, created Adam and Eve in his image, gave authority to them. It was, everything was perfect, but Satan had already fallen.
Right.
Because he had a free will. And Satan came along and said, you know, did God really say, and surely you won't die. And then they did, because they disobeyed through their free will. And then handed over control of the world to Satan. But interesting enough, and you can go back and read this in Genesis 3, after he gained control of it, God said, well, I have a remedy that's going to come. It's going to be my son, and he's going to basically bruise you, and he'll gain victory over you. And that's really what happened. So Christ came to give us life and to give us super abundantly, and was able to overcome. And he says this in Colossians, I disarm principalities and powers, and I've gained victory over principalities and powers. So it's not a matter of the battle is still to be determined. And that's kind of an important thing, because people tend to think, isn't Satan as powerful as God? And it's a battle, and sometimes he wins, sometimes God wins. And God said, no, he's a created being.
Right.
He's not God. I'm superior, preeminent. I created everything, including him. And the victory was won at the cross and the resurrection. So it's not a battle still to be fought in terms of who determines the outcome. It just so happens that the enemy is still active and does have control over the world. So he said, when you're living in this life, you got to recognize that you're part of the whole dynamic of principalities and powers and the spiritual element of it, and demonic, and the victory of Jesus and the Christian angelic, etc. And understand it. So that explains, you know, and when we finally understand, well, why is Israel then such a hotbed of people coming against it? You know, and I mean, think of, and just let me, you know, I'll throw out Norway. Okay. Kathy, what do you think about Norway?
Just a place I want to go visit. And it sounds cold.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting place. And it would be nice to visit. But you don't think in any way that you know, what they're doing, their government, where right. they're headed, how I feel about them. There's just not that thought
right.
at all. Well, Israel is even, you know, that smaller than that, actually. Why does everybody think about this? Why? Well, because
right.
it's a spiritual thing, see? And the enemy in his plan has wanted to eliminate Israel because he does know that in the end, the existence of Israel and the activity in Israel is gonna wind up being the answer. And so his goal still, even though he's read the book as well, is if I can just eliminate them, I can thwart God. He thinks he can thwart God's will. And so that's what he's trying to do. And so, you know, you have Iran is trying to, you know, and think about all the,
right.
the Muslim countries that say our goal is to eliminate Israel. And
right.
wipe it. They say wipe the, you know, the off the face of the earth. So that's why you and I spend so much time, and we do that with Denny and do that with Eric and Rabbi, is that because it's such a critical thing going into the end times that we really need to understand it. And it's so beautiful to get their perspective on it,
mm-hmm.
to have what's really happening there. And we got lots of questions coming up because everything, you know, keeps happening over there, and all the battles and the activity, and Trump trying to negotiate with Hamas, and Israel isn't happy with that. Is how come they weren't included in that process? Because it kind of involves them.
Right.
And what's going to happen? What do we do with Iran with the nuclear weapons? And they've even said that we're not going to not develop nuclear bombs. And
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, that was what they agreed to. But as you know, honoring agreements isn't something that they care about. So that's all interesting. So we're going to keep doing that. But in the meantime, we want to keep talking about this aspect of what we're facing and deception and how we play that out. You know, and one of the things that's on the table right now is the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that as Trump, you know, came back in office, there was an enthusiasm because of thinking, well, he's pro-business and he's pro-investment and he's pro-America. And there was a positive movement, even in the stock market, mm-hmm. about the expectation of that. But underneath it all, there's things that are happening that are maybe moving in the other direction.
Right.
And for example, there's discussion that maybe we're actually in a recession already. And a recession is just where GDP flattens out or goes negative. And everybody's thinking, well, it's going to grow. But now there's some looking at the data underneath it all and say, huh, maybe not, you know, because
right.
Partly in the government itself might be stimulating it because they're laying so many people off in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Which they feel is, you know, needed to make the waste go away. But if all these people get laid off, that increases the unemployment rate.
Right.
Which then people say, gee, the unemployment rate's going up, so maybe we should be careful of hiring or expanding. And it's all about perception.
Right. And affects consumer spending and all of these things as well. Yeah.
And inflation is high, so the interest rates are still high. The housing issue is problematic, partly because of what happened during COVID, is that because people were moving around so much, because they could, because I can work remotely, and they said, well, I'm going to move around. The prices of housing skyrocketed.
Right.
Well, it's pushing it out of the range of where people can afford it. So now there's a beginning to be a shift of, instead of being what's called a seller's market, it's starting to be a buyer's market, which means prices are going to come down. And, you know, what does that mean and to the economic condition of the country? So just to say it all is that because of the debt of the nation, people's perception of the economy, Trump bringing in tariffs, by the way, which is raising prices.
Right.
And causing disruption, you know, so that, you know, there's a thought, well, maybe it'll be good ultimately because that'll be more stuff going on in America. But there
may be some pain in the short term right now.
There's going to be some pain. And maybe, and this is part of the pure economic theory, by the way, is that the markets go to its most efficient place. And this is both nationally and then globally. So that, and this is why things went to China and Mexico, is that the labor was way less expensive than what was true here. So it's cheaper to make things, even with the shipping and the importing. Well, now with the tariffs, it's maybe saying maybe it's not going to be as cheap because now we're adding cost to it that, you know, well, and then it'll move back But because of still the efficiency of there in China and Mexico, et cetera, it may not shift as dramatically as we think because it tends to go to the most efficient place, which is what pure economics are all about. So all to say is that we can't predict exactly what's going to happen here because we're in new territory. Things are changing. And when truth changes, we have to look at it. So we'll look here at a verse that will help us understand this, and then I got some real examples to this. So go to 1 John 1:1-10. This is an interesting verse because it covers a lot of ground, but we're going to focus on this issue of deception.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Yeah. So pretty powerful statement is that, first of all, is that the life is in Jesus, and he's come to give us this life. And he makes an interesting statement here, is that community, it's an interesting statement about community, is that if you're in community with me and we are in community with the Father, we're going to really enjoy the spiritual life that he has for us. And as you enter into community, I am to introduce you and help you stay in fellowship with the Father. He said, so if you're in fellowship with us, who is walking with God, then you'll be walking with God as well. So our basic invitation to each other, which is really what our ministry is all about, is come and see. Hey, what a good title that is.
Right.
Come and see. Let's walk together. Learn to abide. Learn to be in fellowship with each other as we are in fellowship with him. It's not to be just you and I have fellowship absent of that, but it is also to enjoy him while we enjoy each other. And it's really a beautiful statement about community. And he said that's how it's intended to go. Now he says that that life is in Jesus. And he makes a statement. His life is light. And in him, there is no what?
No darkness.
See, there's none, zero darkness, which means his it's all true. The life is all that he says it is. And there is no darkness there at all. So it's not like partial. It's that his life is completely light. And he tells us in many places in scripture that if you walk in the light, that means you have a heart to be, go to the truth and let him reveal the truth to us because there's no darkness in there. And so think of, you know, I think you've been camping, haven't you? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when you camp and you stay out at night, particularly if you get to certain places like in Colorado, we could hike in places where there's absolutely no light at all. I mean, it's completely dark. You can see the stars if they're out. They're beautiful, but there's no light. So you need a flashlight or you need something to be able to point the way
right
on the path because it's dark and you need to expose that darkness to get to the light so you can see how to step. And that's what Jesus said is my life is the light. I'll show you the way. You know, don't be in darkness. He said, be with me. And then he makes a statement. If you say that you don't have any sin, you're actually in darkness and you're deceiving yourself.
Right.
Okay, now, this is complicated because of what we know about life and about sin. He said, now, if you walk with me by surrendering your will, and we've talked about, I'm gonna be with the king in his kingdom. He says, when you step into that kingdom, I cover your sin with my righteousness. And you are now in the light and you aren't in darkness anymore.
Right.
Now, are there things that are fuzzy? Sure. I'm not sure about certain things. I'm not clear about certain things. I need more truth. And that's why he says, you know, stay with me and pursue the truth. I'll reveal more and more to you. But per se, you're walking in the light because you're with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's put two and two together. Why? Well, because in him, there's no darkness.
Right, right.
So by definition, if I'm with him, then I'm not in darkness either.
Right.
Okay, cool. That's cool. Now he said, now at the same time, if you say that you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself and you're mm-hmm. walking in darkness. Okay, now we got to understand what the heck is that all about? I thought we were in the light and I'm admitting that I want to be with him in the light. So, you know, why would I have any darkness? He said, well, and we keep thinking sin is the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, nope, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your nature.
Mm.
Is that you, unfortunately, carry what's called a sin nature.
Right.
Called the flesh. Paul goes into great discussion in Romans that our default is to go to that place of the flesh because we have the sin nature. We can't eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough, if today we're going to walk in the light, what must we do to that sin nature?
Put it to death.
Put it to death. Yeah. We have to crucify it and put it to death today, but interesting enough, it's not a permanent death.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a momentary death. Now I crucify the flesh, I'm with you, but we still carry the sin nature. So he says, if you think you don't have that because you're a Christian,
right?
He said, you're deceiving yourself and you'll wind up in deception because you won't understand the dynamic of what it means to go to the truth and be led away by deception.
Right.
And he said it's really easy to walk away and think that you're holy, but you're not, mm-hmm. because you're going to have to put that to death all the time in order to walk in the light. And when you're with me walking in the light, you won't be in darkness, but you have a tendency to exit.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're in the light today, does that make you in the light tomorrow?
No, I mean, just because you're in it 5 minutes from ago doesn't mean you're in it right now.
That's right. That's right.
There is a continual, you know, putting your flesh to death and surrendering to him.
Yeah. How come?
Because the sin nature, it's there. Yeah, because, it's real.
Yeah. See, the sin nature doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
So he says that the world that we're in is going to get more and more and more deception, where you think things are good, but they're really not. And he actually describes this in Isaiah in different places, where good becomes evil and evil becomes mm-hmm. good, where, you know, the Christian community, the Christian churches can say, yeah, that's okay. But it's really not, because God says you're promoting deception because you think it's right, but it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, and again, just simple things like we started talking about is that there's a whole group of Christians that is called Israel Doesn't Matter. Because they're taught Israel doesn't matter. Actually, they don't really have any bearing at all in the end, because that's all about what's called replacement, that theology.
Mm, yeah.
And that is, the church has replaced it. So don't even think about Israel. Just think about the church. And God says, well, if I help you go to truth about that, there's lots of scripture that say, now Israel matters. And what happens in Israel matters. And what's going to happen in the end for Israel. That's why we spend so much time on it.
Right.
Because we understand that that's true. And we're not deceived or say, well, it doesn't matter. So if I have a heart to go to truth, it's not about something I've already determined. That's the flesh. And that's why he's saying, say, if you think you don't have any sin and you're functioning in the flesh as a believer,
mm-hmm.
you're actually deceiving yourself and you're walking
right.
in darkness, which is why we talk so much about it, is that deception is super easy to fall mm-hmm. into, partly because we have presuppositions. We've been trained a certain way. And again, I could use a very extreme example. Think of and this is true, and actually a rabbi talked about this, is that I'm a five-year-old Muslim grown up in an extreme Muslim home.
Mm-hmm.
What am I taught?
You are hate taught Israel. To hate Israel, yeah.
Hate Israel, and we want to kill them. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you kill them, it's a good thing.
Right.
And they're rewarded for it. Okay, well, they think it's true, but God says, well, just innate, my nature isn't that way at all. I don't, I love that Muslim and I don't want them killing anybody. I want them to enjoy life as well. Ultimately to come to know me, which is God's will for everybody, but they're living in complete deception. Yeah. Why? Well, because that's how we're taught. And so we've all been taught certain things and certain perspectives. And God says, well, let me walk you into truth so that as you look at this next season of our economy, politics, the world, Israel, I need to reveal truth to you and be careful that, you know, you have certain people that say, oh, the economy's great. However, if you look underneath it all and you start to say, well, Father, show me the truth about that.
Right.
He starts to say, yeah, it's not as great as you think. I need to show you some things, and particularly as it impacts you and your business and the company you work for, there's lots of things I need to show you. Don't be deceived. And it starts with, I think because I'm a believer, the flesh is conquered and everything that happens is God's will. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, the flesh isn't conquered. It has to be put to death all the time with a heart then to follow me and let me reveal truth to you.
Right.
And what I'm sensing right now is that we're actually at a very kind of a dangerous point in our phase of this next season of life is because of the politics, there's a tendency to think, oh, it's all going to be fantastic. And I can just relax now because, hey, we're back. And God says, no, I really need you to pay attention because I think things are coming up that are going to be very tricky and maybe problematic for us with the economy, with the government, with the international situation. I have a sense that we're entering into a really tricky period of time. And God is trying to tell us, don't be deceived. And it starts with, you think you're covered just because you're a believer.
And,
no, it's going to have to be day by day, moment by moment, walking with me, letting me bring you to truth. And I will move you out of deception if you have a heart to go and be careful that you're, you know, moving in that direction. It's just a warning that I think that God's trying to show us. And he tells us in this beautiful verse that the deception can be at the purest level, and that is to think, because I'm a believer, I don't need to focus on walking with him and having truth. I can just live out my own truth. And he said, that's where the danger is.
Right.
Is be careful and always walk in the light, which is let him expose things to say, huh, that's interesting. I'm going to receive that and process that as opposed to reject it because it didn't fit my paradigm. So it's really, really interesting. So
that's fascinating.
Thank you for this interesting verse that talks about you are the light. There's no darkness in you. Our life is invited to abide with you, abide with each other in community so that we continue to pursue light and not darkness and think we're in light, but we're in darkness. And so may we not be deceived because of it. And may we have an openness to all that you want to show us, particularly in this very tricky moment in the history of the world that we're part of. Very interesting, but it could be very dangerous. And so we just pray that we'll be open to be following you and let you guide us and lead us into our life specifically. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing. Great passage to dwell on. And even I'm just reminded as we wrap up today, even as we look at this scripture, that with all of what is going on in the world and what is so unsettled is also this incredible, beautiful opportunity because people are curious.
Yes.
People are looking for wisdom. And I do believe there is a great awakening and a great revival that is going on. And a lot of people are seeking God. And so for us to hold to that, be prepared to give a defense for your faith, be prepared to lead people back to the feet of Jesus and to show them what it looks like to abide with him and to let him lead and bring darkness into light and bring them out of deception. So much opportunity. You can get caught up on the negative of what's going on, or you can look at what's going on and say, this is a moment in time that God is giving us to awaken the church and to draw others to him. And there is a harvest at hand, I believe as well.
Amen.
So also something to be praying ahead of. So if you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.